First in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
You're listening to Karen Cataline as a regular guest host of the nationally syndicated Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network.
Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the Union label.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline filling in today, and we are opening our second hour with President of the Public Interest Legal Foundation and current Commissioner on the U.S. Commission for Civil Rights. He served for 5 years in the voting section of the United States Department of Justice as an election lawyer and as a DOJ whistleblower. Welcome, J. Christian Adams, to the Alan Nathan Show. We so appreciate your time.
Hey there. Thanks for having me.
I was stunned today. It is interesting that we're having you this very day that news broke that the Supreme Court of the United States has unanimously ruled, not as the legacy media is reporting, that he can be on the ballot, but that he must be on the ballot. I'm perplexed and stunned why more people, and maybe I'm wrong, more people are recognizing the supremely fascistic move of any Democrats to try to remove their primary opponent off the ballot, and why anybody doesn't call that the height of election interference. Your thoughts, J. Christian
Adams.
Well,
right. It's destabilizing. It's destabilizing to the country when you allow state bureaucrats to decide who people can vote for. This is what this case was all about, is who has the power. And the court did as I predicted it would, and we filed a brief in the case, too. It relied on the Constitution to decide. That's who gets to decide who's on the ballot. And the requirements to be president are pretty simple. 35 natural born citizen and not the same state as your vice president. Those are the criteria to run for office, and that's what the court decided today.
You know what, though? And can I call you? Is your name
Christian?
I don't think your
name
is Jay. Christian.
No, it's Christian.
Okay.
Hey there.
Hi, Christian. Yeah. Thank you. I don't think that there is any precedent. It's unprecedented for the opposing president in election year and his party to try to remove their top and only true opponent from the ballot. I mean, can't we just suspend with all the hoity-toity terms and say, this is what tyranny looks like? This is it. It is the antithesis of what America has ever stood for since its founding.
It's unprecedented, at least in the United States. It's not unprecedented
exactly.
In Venezuela and the Soviet Union and third world regimes all over the world.
And what a coincidence. Those are communist countries. I think Russia is less communist than it used to be. That could be the reason Democrats don't like it anymore. But in the United States of America, a country that was founded on liberty, it never have we seen people thrown into solitary confinement, and on it goes. Donald Trump wasn't convicted of anything, and yet the mere appearance, that sounds suspiciously like the appearance of impropriety of the Willis Wade show, which we're going to get in the next segment. You know, why don't we just ask you, what is your primary focus here? You were a DOJ whistleblower. What do we need to know, you know, in a general level from someone as distinguished from you, as you, about what exactly, Christian, is going on here?
Well, the good news is that you had nine justices agree with the principle that the Constitution sets the criteria for running for president, that no state official can decide what the criteria for running for president are. And that's a good place to be, to actually have every justice of the Supreme Court agree with the principle that the federal Constitution sets out the requirements. And I think that that's a good day. I mean, we don't get many days like this, do we? When all justices agree on a basic idea like that.
What bothers me is that conservatives ought not go, oh, thank you. Oh, thank you for letting our candidate be on the ballot. You know, that's what I don't want to see. What say you?
Well, look, the candidate should be on the ballot who has qualified for the ballot. I mean, people have the right to
exactly
vote for their candidate of choice. And that's a great American tradition. And thankfully, today it got upheld.
Good. Well, in our time left, or we do have some, talk about your role now. I don't have a lot of information, as it were, on where and in what capacity you were a DOJ whistleblower. Would you like to give us a little more insight on that? Because, boy, we could use a lot more of those, too, as long as it's such a good day.
Well, that was a long time ago. I was sort of delighted to hear it mentioned in my bio, but that was we're going on now 15 years. That was a new Black Panther case when I was at the Justice Department. So somebody has slipped that into my bio for 2024. And so I was the department when we dismissed the case against the new Black Panther Party for stalking the polls with weapons back in the 2008 election. So
wait a sec. The Black Panther Party, I remember they were stalking the elections, and that was 2016 or was it?
2008.
2008. So you got the case dismissed?
Well, I brought the case, and the Obama administration dismissed it after we brought the case, and the Panthers were in default. Yeah. That's what that bio ad refers to, apparently.
Okay. Yes, it does. Sorry about that. But with the stunning amount of extra constitutional things we're seeing in the Department of Justice, could you comment on what you're watching now and how, if any, I would think it does, differs from what you remember?
Well, I think it's getting worse. I mean, it's way worse, and it seemed bad at the time when I was at the Justice Department, but I think that it has become everything we feared it would be, where laws are enforced based on your politics.
Yeah. Well, in the old days, I show my age, in the times of Nixon, we called that abuse of power, didn't we?
Right.
We call that abuse of power?
The law is meant to be enforced evenly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So given your great insight, unique insight into this, what if anything, can we do about it at this juncture?
Well, that's a great question. What can you do about it? There really isn't a lot you can do about the biased Justice Department. They have a lot of inertia, and there's not a lot of ways to unravel it. It's very difficult to do anything about, frankly.
It qualifies as as part of the argument of the unelected bureaucrats making policy, because they decide who is charged and what have you. With our last couple of minutes, why don't you give us more information about the Public Interest Legal Foundation And what they do.
No, we're a nonprofit charity, a 501c3 tax-deductible charity that all we do is enforce federal election law, uphold the rule of law, uphold the sanctity of American elections, and help make the system work better.
Hmm. Have you received a lot of pushback and, I don't know, persecution for doing what you're doing, or are you
No.
being able to do it?
Oh, of course. We get support from all over the country. It's a great and exciting opportunity.
Okay. Well, very good. And it says also that you're a current commissioner on the U.S. Commission for Civil Rights. We got maybe one more minute. Please talk about that as long as we've got you here.
Well, okay. the Commission on Civil Rights was founded in 1957. I'm a presidential appointee. I'll probably be the last Trump appointee in the federal government. And the commission looks at civil rights issues all around the country, and we're actually holding a hearing this coming Friday. So that's what we do.
Any kind of civil rights, what, offenses to?
Everything relating to federal civil rights, voting, employment, police, discrimination, the whole ballgame.
Okay. Jay, Christian Adams, thank you so much for. Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And our next guest is, full disclosure, someone I consider a friend. He's terrific on radio. He's co-host of the Chuck and Julie Show, which can be heard at chuckandjulie.com. He's also the publisher of the Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle and none other than Colorado that made national news today. His name is Charles Bonnewell, excuse me, I can say his name, and we have him right here. Hi, Chuck, how are you?
Morning. Good morning to you. Good morning to you. Great day to start out.
It is a good day. If you'd like to comment on the Supremes voting unanimously that, oh, isn't it nice, they'll let Donald Trump be on the ballot in Colorado.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, we had our Supreme Court saying he couldn't be on. With the Ivy League, they're all left-wing, but the Ivy League left-wingers, all four of them, saying he couldn't be on the ballot, while the left-wingers who didn't go to Ivy League schools said he should stay on. So the 4-3 vote, but it gets overturned by the Supreme Court 9-0, which he really hoped for. And then they had these concurrences by the three Democratic-appointed judges, but it didn't matter. It was 9-0, basically saying the states can't decide the federal office. It's really up to Congress. And, you know, if Congress wants to exclude somebody, you know, good luck getting something through Congress.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Chuck is not only a publisher and co-host, he's also an esteemed attorney. And so he's asked about legal questions a lot. And I sent a cheeky email to you saying, thanks a lot, Chuck. You got me interested in this Willis Wade soap opera, the Willis Wade show.
Isn't that great? The greatest thing.
Yeah. So I wanted to have you on because I love when you get all passionate about these court cases and nobody can pull you away from it.
I don't do it very often, but this last couple of years we've had such great ones that the famous Amber Heard won, and that was great.
Well, what did you love most? What did you love most about the Willis Wade show? And then we'll get into what you expect to happen.
I mean, you know, Oscar Wilde said every trial is a trial for your life, and now it's down to every hearing is a hearing for your life. I mean, people destroyed their entire careers. They destroyed any chance to make money. They embarrassed themselves beyond belief. I mean, this was just people being eviscerated on the, you know, you don't get a lot of Perry Mason moments. And these are almost Perry Mason moments where the people go, we did it in all cash. Any receipts? Any withdrawal? No, I just took it from my campaign funds. You know, that's illegal. Oh, well, then I didn't. I mean, just the perfidy. I mean, here, you know, what DAs love to do is say, you know, I don't care about convicting people. My job is to do justice. And of course, that's all BS. You know, all they do is figure crooked ways to get convictions. But it's important to have that at least patina, so when people think that the system is fair, because if everybody thinks the system is corrupt, it's just not good. Whether it is corrupt or not, it's better that people don't think it's corrupt. So you have these, you know, Fannie Willis had run against a guy who was just awful, but she won, saying she wouldn't have sex with her coworkers like he did. And so the first thing she do, she hires a guy he's having sex with and giving him, you know, $750,000 to prosecute Trump. And that was just going to be the beginning. I mean, you know, who do you love best? I mean, so she and then they said, oh, we didn't start that until before, he got the contract. And then they had all this, you know, cell phone records showing that they were together all the time.
Thousands of texts, which you don't do in the middle of the night.
And then all of a sudden they would stop. And it was just,
go ahead. Finish your thought.
But the Trump attorneys did a good job. The head of for the attorney from the district attorney's office, they hired this outside woman, Anna Cross. So she gets up there and does a pretty good job to begin with. But then she gets the partner of Wade on the stand. And after he testified positively for her, or at least didn't give Trump people what he wanted, she eviscerates him on the stand, saying, weren't you really fired because you were assaulting all the girls in the office? And he goes, no, not me, no. And so she, you know, and everybody's going, you just destroyed your own positive witness. So she doesn't show up again. She just goes, I ain't doing this anymore. So she leaves it off to this Adam Abate, who is the chief assistant or something to the DA's office, and he's an utter fool. He gives the worst closing argument ever. I've never seen
that seemed to be the sentiment. I was stunned because I went back and watched it sort of after I found out, oh, Chuck's at it again. I got to find out what he's interested in. And sure enough, it was incredibly entertaining. You know, the left likes to talk about privilege. What did you make of Fannie Willis's indignance for being asked fundamental questions about her credibility?
Well, so this is perfect. So the Anna Cross is up there arguing with the judge that they ought to have grant his motion to quash because he would have nothing to say that was not couldn't be said by others, and it's just an attempt to embarrass her and blah 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 blah. So she's halfway through this sort of insipid argument, and who comes blasting into the courtroom but Fannie Willis herself. And Fannie Willis got her name somehow, you know, her name, she was not named after her Fanny, but man, she's got a big butt, and she goes crashing in there.
Okay, Chuck.
Dress on backwards, and she's got her hair lit on fire. I mean, she is ready to go. And she just, she doesn't answer questions. She says, this is a lie. That's a lie. This is a lie. This is a lie.
Yeah, that was a question. She said that's a lie when she was asked a question. Wait a minute. Can questions, yes or no, be a lie? Just, I mean, she was, that was fascinating. So much of it was fascinating.
And the judge who gave her $150 for campaign and had worked under Fannie at the DA's office, he was kind of terrified of her because no judges don't allow a witness just to sit there. And she would just go on to say, well, you know, this bill, you know, the wine costs a lot, because I'm not into wine. I like Grey Goose vodka. And I was going, yeah, I bet you do. And whoever got some there. And she just rambling on. I mean, just. Well, it's just kind of a simple question. You get this, my Black Panther father told me that I got to keep 6 months cash at home. So you kind of go, but you're the DA. And,
we have to go. Boy, that went quick. I just want to alert. We could talk another hour about this because I love when you get wound up. Listen to Chuck and Julie at chuckandjulie.com. They're on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Go and find out more about them. His wife is just as entertaining. Thank you so much, Chuck, for joining us. We so appreciate your time.
Good day.
Take care. Boy, those segments go quick. When we get back, we're going to talk about the Trumps. What else? We'll be back.
So when we're setting up stuff for the new year, we've come in with a lot of energy. It's good to level set. Take a step back, relax just a little bit. Think about the small things that we can do, that we can fit into our life right now and do them very, very well. That's the key, sustainability. So I would start with using a tracking app. That way you know what you're bringing in and what you're bringing out. MyFitnessPal is a great option for that. It's going to help build sustainable habits over time. And to help with that, the nutritionists over at MyFitnessPal, along with Kate Hudson, have developed the Small Steps, Big Wins plan. This is a 7-day challenge that gives you the little steps that you need to build that foundation so you can meet your goals. You can go straight to the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store, download MyFitnessPal, and get started.
CES is always a proving ground for breakthrough technologies and global innovators, and I'm working with some great brands to share the latest and greatest. The S8 Max V Ultra from Roborock is redefining how we clean our homes. The deep cleaning capabilities and self-maintenance features make cleaning more convenient. Online protection experts McAfee have unveiled their new AI-powered deepfake audio detection technology. Known as Project Mockingbird, this technology will be a reliable resource for consumers amidst the rise of malicious AI-generated material online. Tonies are a great screen-free educational toy option for children. Pop any of the Tonies on top of the Tony box, and they'll play a variety of stories, songs, and lessons that can develop children's emotional intelligence with age-appropriate tech. The X-Real Air 2 Pro AR glasses are a great option for gaming, working at a desk, or incorporating augmented reality apps into your day-to-day life. And because they look like normal sunglasses, they'll fit right into your pocket and blend seamlessly into your day. For more, check out StephanieHumphrey.com.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figuerella, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
China is flooding our country with illegal, disposable, flavored vapes marketed towards kids. Here's Fentanyl Fathers co-founder Greg Swan with a message for parents.
Reuters is reporting that a new breed of vapes from China has confounded regulators while offering flavors like blue cotton candy to attract America's youth, with the possibility that these products can be laced with deadly fentanyl enforcement agencies at the local, state, and federal levels need to get these illegal products off shelves.
Sponsored by Fentanyl Fathers.
I'm Maria Brous, Director of Media and Community Relations for Publix Supermarkets. Every baby deserves the best possible start, but not all babies get one. March of Dimes is changing that. You can help us lead the fight for the health of all moms and babies. Join me and Publix to march for babies. Let's raise funds and be champions for families near and far. Together, we're building a brighter future. Sign up for Publix's team today at marchforbabies.org.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan. And by the way, if you would like to access the archives of the Alan Nathan Show, which are enormous indeed, just go to www.mainstreetradionetwork.com, and there you will find that plethora of archives. It's a veritable history of various parts of talk radio issues over the years, with Alan Nathan at the helm. Moving right along, we are delighted to welcome author, activist, and podcast host living in Washington and chairman and founder of Reopen America PAC. She sang the national anthem at the J6 rally in Washington, D.C. on Saturday, September 18th, 2021. And we're happy to have her now here. Suzanne Monk joins us. Welcome to the Alan Nathan Show, Suzanne.
Thank you for having me, Kara. Glad to be here.
Yeah, so interesting. Reopen America is significant. I'd love you to talk about that. And the J6 rally, in which the former president was accused of leading an insurrection, which everybody watched television, did not see in any way. We were all watching, but now we're saying, don't believe your lying eyes. What do you think about that before we get on to Trump's lead right now?
Well, yes, certainly. And we see the Supreme Court even backing up that exact same decision that, in fact, no insurrection occurred just today. So, you know, it continues to be a very relevant situation. I started to reopen my America PAC on day two of 14 days to flatten the curve, to try to ask very logical questions. Number one, why are we doing these things? Where is the science to base any of these strange behaviors on? And what are we going to do to fix this once we get on the other side of this quote-unquote pandemic? And what we see, of course, is that we didn't really get on the other side of it, that they used that to manipulate the election, to force mail-in ballots. And that led us, as we saw here in this country, to January 6th, where there was so much fraud in this election that thousands and thousands, perhaps over a million Americans, were here in Washington, D.C. that day to support the constitutional process of the challenge of the electors that has gone on in many elections in the past. When the states have questions and doubts about how their election was held, they are able to challenge the certification of the electors here in Congress. And that's what was on the docket there for that day. And of course, what we saw was a massive event that more and more we are starting to realize was a massive coordinated event with FBI involvement, with federal agents embedded in the crowds that day, and with various behaviors by Capitol Police, both in letting people into the doors and committing acts of police violence against peaceful protesters that day.
Suzanne, just for the record, I want to just say for the listeners, the decision today you were referring to with the unanimous decision that, gee, we can be grateful, and I'm being facetious, to our Supreme Court to let Donald Trump be on the ballot. Now, it's American, right? To let he deserves to be on the ballot. He fits the criteria, and he's not guilty of anything. He wasn't convicted of anything, but they did not in any way rule on whether there was an insurrection that occurred, because Trump is being handcuffed in court in a million different, in numerous ways, linked to that, so that they can hamstring his election, which, by the way, is election interference. I just wanted to point that out, that the decision today had only to do with the Colorado in particular, and therefore other states deciding summarily to take a candidate they don't like off the ballot. There's another word for that. It's called communism.
Certainly.
Okay.
Well, and
yeah.
let me state that they used the January 6th events to take people off the ballot in 2022. It was a significant force of election interference with the midterm elections. I know many candidates across the country that were taken off the ballot or were manipulated off the ballot because they were called in front of the J6 Select Committee. They were accused of being present at the January 6th events. There are a lot of great patriots that did not make it into Congress, did not make it into the Senate, based on a lot of manipulation and frankly, into state offices as well, based on the manipulation of January 6th as an election interference tactic.
Yeah. And when you say, and I know you're not saying this, differently, but to say they were accused of having attended, that right there is so false and propagandist, because our Constitution allows us to petition our government for grievances. It doesn't say you are not allowed to go to your capital and protest. It says you're not allowed to commit violence. And there were thousands upon thousands of people there peacefully protesting as Donald Trump asked them to do. So to be present is not a crime. And our government buildings in Washington, D.C. have been open to the public until now for decades.
Well,
since
Let me speak to that to a second, because, you know, there's a lot of conversation going on in the country between, you know, did violence occur, which individuals that day committed acts of violence. But I'll take the sentencing hearing for Colt McAbee that just happened this week, one of the first arrestees, and certainly someone who is a law enforcement officer who that day actually helped protect another law enforcement officer, one of the Capitol Police, protect that officer that day, something that that officer recognized and acknowledged. However, he still received a 7-year sentence, which involves a trumped up assault charge. He, quote unquote, assaulted the officer he assisted and aided and protected that day. And that is happening in these cases again and again and again. So we as Americans need to be very aware when we are saying, did someone commit violence or not violence that day? A lot of the people that we might be told committed violence that day committed no violence whatsoever. In fact, were there protecting, you know, themselves or other police officers, and people in the area were trying to reduce the tensions, make sure peaceful things occurred that day, and they were in fact charged and railroaded by not being allowed to present evidence in court that exonerated that false violence charge. So, you know, we need to be very aware that the DOJ has falsely accused a lot of people of being violent who were not violent that day.
You know what strikes me, Suzanne, is it's so overwhelming, the mass upside down view of justice and everything. Look at how long it takes for you to explain something. And I think all of this confusion and chaos being introduced into the public view is all by design. So that there is no objective truth anymore. It's all a matter of what you're willing to believe and what you're not willing to believe. You know where I'm going with this? It is so 100%. Unfortunate that the propaganda, particularly the people accusing everyone else of misinformation and disinformation, are actually putting mis and disinformation into the public view so that they can tell a lie that isn't true. Meanwhile, to have to explain the truth takes time. It takes a certain amount of discernment and careful judgment, which they ask judges, people on juries to do. How do you get past that? You are kind of a self-identified activist. How do you get past that? All of the unbelievable amount of lies being told by people who claim that they're the final arbiters of truth.
Well, a lot of it is actually getting a chance to talk directly to the people who are suffering and who are enduring these conditions. You know, we saw the recent situation with the FBI arrest and the loss of that unborn child, which is unfortunate and frankly not uncommon. The FBI has been using these rough raid tactics and targeting people who are in, you know, difficult situations. My friend Zachary Real, when he was arrested back in 2021, his wife was also pregnant, and they also had a very aggressive raid that day. Luckily, it did not result in the same ending. That, you know, thank heavens. But this is not an uncommon tactic. They are intentionally using these harsh tactics because they're trying to incite somebody to fight back. Frankly, that's what they were doing on January 6th. They wanted to rile the crowd up to fight back so they can have those big standoffs, you know, the Bundy Ranch kind of standoffs that make everybody, you know, that make them look like the big heroes. And of course, the Trump supporters like crazy gun nuts. They're looking for that. They're hunting for that kind
of
reaction.
Don't you?
And again, we don't get that. Again and again, we get peaceful response from these January 6ers and from the people that were there that day. And again, we see that. So they're not winning, but they certainly have a tactic.
Yeah. Suzanne, how can people find you, follow you on your podcast? Let people know.
I would invite everybody to come and check out our latest project, which is the J6 Pardon Project. You can go to j6pardonproject.com. It will tell you all about the work we're doing to help advocate for the pardoning of these January 6th defendants as President Trump takes office next year.
Thank you. Suzanne, we're glad to have you with us. Well, we're going to wrap up the show with a good friend. Tell you about him when I get back.
The Citizens Award program is one that we started here 25 years ago to honor the businesses that are taking the lead in solving the world's biggest challenges. And what we find they're really doing is using talent, their resources, really digging deep into the expertise they have as a company and putting that work for their communities. This year, we got to honor 11 organizations all over the country who are really making a difference in their communities. We cast a wide net. We've got 9 categories. We've got large business, small business, medium-sized business, civic organizations. And the breadth of what they're doing is just astonishing and inspiring. You've got companies like Medtronic, whose employees volunteered 190,000 hours in their communities last year. Please go to uschamberfoundation.org. You can take an idea and make it right for the place that you live and the people that you serve.
New federal data confirms that illegal, disposable, flavored e-cigarettes drive youth vaping. Here's former Office of National Drug Control Policy Director Gil Kerlikowski.
The latest data shows that Chinese-made illegal, disposable vapes marketed in youth-enticing flavors are pouring into our country. The DEA has warned that these illegal products can be laced with fentanyl. The FDA must increase enforcement action.
Sponsored by Communities United for Smart Policy.
Heart valve disease is more common than you or your doctor may think, especially as you get older. It's serious, but treatable with the proper diagnosis. If you or a loved one are experiencing shortness of breath, fatigue, chest tightness or pressure, dizziness or fainting, talk to your doctor and ask for an echocardiogram to get diagnosed early and enjoy your best quality of life. Learn more at askforecho.com. That's ask4echo.com.
My name is Judy Teeter, and I'm the mother of 3 boys. My youngest, Joe, was a great kid. He loved sports, music, and his youth group. One day, Joe asked me to drive him to an after-school event, which was about a mile from our home. I was driving through a green light when a car in cross traffic ran a red light and drove right into the side of our car, killing Joe. The driver was talking on her phone, so she never even saw the red light. She was so absorbed in her phone call. Before the crash, I didn't realize just talking on a cell phone while driving was so dangerous. Now it's something I think about every day. According to the National Safety Council, about 1 in 4 car crashes involves a cell phone. Hands-free is no safer. When you're behind the wheel, put away your phone. For Joe and for the thousands of needless deaths every year. Remember, there is no safe way to talk on a cell phone while driving. Find out more at nsc.org/callskill.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard. So you don't need to ditch the car and start rollerblading to work.
look ridiculous.
You look ridiculous!
You don't need to start foraging wild berries.
I was skeptical, but these are actually pretty good.
You don't need to sell your organs on the black market.
Lie back. This is gonna hurt.
Yeah, that hurts.
You don't need to rent out your apartment to drifters.
I made a fire with the wood in your bedroom.
That's my dresser!
And your closet door.
You just need an internet connection. Don't get left behind. Start your personal savings plan with the tips and tools on feedthepig.org. That way, you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover guitar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And we close our show, or I should say we wrap up this particular show with a good friend of the Alan Nathan Show. Michael Lutz joins us, CEO and founder of Invest USA, a national grassroots nonprofit for providing police with bulletproof vests. Michael has over 30 years of experience in law enforcement, and he's always fun to talk to. Thank you, Michael, for joining us today.
Thank you, Karen. It's always a privilege to be with you. Thank you for what you're doing for America.
Thank you even more for standing by our police. We've talked about a variety of issues here, you and I, that affect the police, law enforcement, and keeping the public safe, or as we like to say in our house, that thin blue line. Today, you are here to talk about Austin, Texas, which has reached the brink of disaster when it comes to police staffing. But somehow, the officials aren't lifting a finger to fix it. Is that another example of defund the police, or what's going on in Austin, Texas?
Well, let me give you the quick overview, because you're exactly correct. It is defunding the police. The Austin is controlled by the Democrats. It's a Democratic-controlled city council. Back when they started the defund the police movement, they wanted to jump on the bandwagon, cut $150 million out of their budget, reduce their size of their staff. And basically, here's what they did. They sent a message to law enforcement. We don't care about you. We care about the criminals instead. We care more about their rights. So officers quickly got the message. And those that they had to let go because of the budget cuts, they did the vaccine mandates that finished off with quite a few more. Then they began to understand that violent crime began to spike and escalate, got worse and worse. So they began to think, oop, maybe we made a mistake. Let's restore funding. So they restored funding, but here's the problem. They haven't restored trust. And so the law enforcement community has no respect, no regard. They're losing them left and right. They are beyond the ability now to provide protection for the citizens of Austin. The citizens know that. It's to the point now where sometimes they're getting in different districts in their city, no law enforcement presence at all. Because when they get a call, they have to move them around. And it can go hours without law enforcement presence in particular districts. This is disastrous for the people of Austin, disastrous for their safety, and it's disastrous for their future and for the future of their children. And now they're scrambling. What do we do? What do we do? Let's give them more money. Quite frankly, that's not going to work, Karen. And it's been proven over the last year that they're not interested in going back to work. for Austin. Not until they regain trust. And here's how you have to do that. Those elected officials that are still there who voted to defund them and to treat them with such disdain need to not just publicly apologize, they need to resign. And when the American people and the people of Austin, Texas realize that this is how our first responders have been treated, and they unite together to try to mend the fence, to provide the support, it'll be restored, but not until. And in the meantime, people are leaving in droves because they're unsafe.
Let me tell you what scares me about that. Two things. I mean, scares is the wrong word because we're living in frightful, frightful times. One is, just when the streets and cities all over America are more dangerous than ever, they want to pull support, pull people's rights to self-defense, and pull police officers. This particular conflict that you're talking about seems to play right into the hands of the radical left, who in some places are actually considering, and that means they're going to do it, they're going to make illegal aliens police officers. So they're going to have criminals right, policing law-abiding citizens. How's that going to work? Well, it's going to play into their hands again. So it concerns me because the people who started the fire are not about to apologize for the fire they set and say, oh, you know, we don't have any other options. No, I think they're going to come up with options that play into their hands, which is to make criminals who entered our country illegally and to say, well, we have no other option. We have to make them cops. How does that work? We know how that works.
Well, they've already tried that, not just attempting to get illegal immigrants, but they're now saying that they're having counselors to answer calls. They just had a shooting in Austin, officer dead, and the counselor who served the eviction notice warrant was killed first before the officer responded. He was shot as well. Third officer was shot and injured before we apprehended the assailant. So it's quickly sent the message. Your idea about hiring just normal people on the street to, quote unquote, talk people out of crime is not going to work.
Yeah, but officers are getting killed at enormous rates too now, which is just another reason why they don't want to become cops. I mean, what kind of a sheepdog, and I say that with the utmost respect, sheepdogs are people that are born to be protectors. They want to protect the public. They want to protect law-abiding, innocent people from crime and mayhem. But look at the price they have to pay. Your thoughts?
Well, it's very accurate what you said. Right now, the price they have to pay is not worth it to them, and we're seeing that reflected. We're not seeing any young people that want to go forward and be cops. We have a major national security issue in this country. We have the ability to address it. We can create charter schools for first responders and create the positive side of first responding and law enforcement to our young people. We can create literature for their edification and reading that portray in the right light instead of all this negativism that the mass media is doing. InVES is spearheading a number of different initiatives to get this accomplished. But at the same time, we can't do it unless the American public rallies behind us. We know that their heart is there, but we need more than their heart. We need their voices. And quite frankly, when you have politicians and policymakers who have such disdain, it is time for recall elections. It is time to spearhead movements to say, we will not allow you to destroy what's left of our community. We're going to put a recall and kick you out of office. Not wait until your term comes up. It's time to kick you out now. That's the kind of, when law enforcement sees
Michael,
up, be
I'm so sorry to break in here, but I want, you appealed for people to help you, and you can hear that music. We got to wrap it up. How can people help you and learn more about what you're doing?
www.investusa.org, and they can stay involved with making our community safe once again.
That's great. Michael Letts, thank you so much always for being available to us here at the Alan Nathan Show. That does it for this edition of the Alan Nathan Show. We appreciate your time. Please keep standing up and speaking out. We're out of here.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.